Welcome back, everybody, to Amud Yomi. Today, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph 21a, and we are in the very bottom of Daf Chaf Amud Beis. So we started a new mission in the beginning of the second parak. We spoke about someone who sleeps under a bed in a sukkah, and Rabbi Yehuda said that the practice was that this would be okay. So what seems to come out from here is that Rabbi Yehuda does not regard a bed as an ohel that's going to interfere with a person between himself and the sukkah, and therefore it's going to be okay. So once we've said that this bed is not considered an ohel, which is going to be a partition between the person and the sukkah, and therefore it would be allowed to have someone sleep under this bed in the sukkah. So we need to figure out what is an ohel according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we're going to go into a bit of a discussion about that. So comes the Gemara and says, Tanan Hasan, we have a Mishnah in Ohelos. The Mishnah tells us, Echad Chor Shecharou Mayim. So whether it's something that was hollowed out by water, Oshratzim, or it was hollowed out by small creatures, Oshachasum, Malachas, or it was eaten away by some sort of minerals, V'chein Midbach Havanim, or similarly, something that's hollow because of a pile of boulders, v'chein sivar shel koros, or something that was hollowed from a stack of beams, ma'il al atuma. In all of these cases, the roof constitutes a shelter over the tuma, which means that if there's a dead body in one part of that covering, and then there's something that's mekabel tuma on the other side, the tumas ohel teaches us that this is going to all become tuma, even if it's not directly next to it, because it's all under the same roof. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, kol ohel she'ino aso bidei adam, ino ohel, that any ohel, any shelter that is not man-made, all of these things are naturally created, and therefore they're not going to constitute an ohel. Only something that's naturally created is going to have the status of an ohel. So kol ohel she'ino aso bidei adam, ino ohel. Now I ask the Gemara, my time to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Why does he hold that an ohel that's not man-made is not considered an ohel? So answers the Gemara, yalef ohel ohel mi mishkan, because he learns out of gzeirah shava of ohel ohel from the mishkan. Because k'siv hacha, it says over here, by tumas ohel, it says zos ha-torah adam ki yomus ba-ohel. U'k'siv hasman, it says over there, by the mishkan, by yifros S-O-L ala Mishkan, and Moshe spread the tent over the Mishkan. Ma'ala halam bidei adam, just as over there, it's bidei adam because Moshe was the one who spread it out. Avkan bidei adam, so over here in the case of Tumah, it needs to be man-made. V'rabbanan, what would the Rabbanan say? How would they answer this? Why do they say that it does not need to be man-made? So O-L-O, Reba, so they say no. All these extra words of O-L in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Zosad ra'adam ki yamas ba'ol ko'abal, O-L v'cho'asher ba'ol yit mashavas yamim. The Pasuk tells us all these words of Ohel, so comes the Gemara and says, the Rabbanan would say that those extra words of Ohel are coming to include even a naturally formed Ohel is going to be okay, it does not need to be man-made. But comes the Gemara now and further goes into the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Misava Rabbi Yehuda, ko Ohel, she'eino aso bidei adam, eino Ohel, is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda's of the sheet that any Ohel that's not man-made is not considered an Ohel in regards to Tamur Rimini? But I'll ask you a contradiction from the following Mishnah. The Mishnah seems to tell us, and this is a Mishnah in Para. So in order to understand this, we need a little bit of background. So when it came to the Afer of the Para Aduma, that was really the main way to become Tahor when someone was Tamei Mason. Now we know we don't have this anymore. We don't have the Para Aduma. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, no one's fully Tahor when it comes to Tamei Mason. So what used to happen is that in order to go and be someone who does and collects this water and gets the Para Aduma and sprinkles the Para Aduma, so the tzidukim, the people who don't hold of Torah Shebaal Peh, so they used to always say that it needs to be that someone is fully Tahor. But really the halacha is that we learn in Torah Shebaal Peh that even if they're a tful yom, which means that they went to the mikvah for some sort of tumah, just they don't have Harav Shemesh, the nightfall didn't come, they're still able to go ahead and do so. So we went out of our way to make sure that that was very clear. We made someone tumah in order to have them be a tful yom so they could do the Para Aduma, just to get rid of the thought process of the tzidukim, because we needed to fight against that. However, we're now fighting against another element, which is that if people know that you could be a tful yom, that you don't have to be fully tahor in order to do the Para Aduma, then maybe that would cause a certain laxity. People wouldn't be as intense about it. So therefore, there were other chumras that were brought on, meaning that the preparations of the Para Aduma had to be done in a utensil that can't be mekabel tuma, like stone or earth or some stuff along those lines. Also, the Kohen who would be using this, who would be doing the Para Aduma, he had to stay secluded in the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days. So we did other chumras to go against the kulas that we had to do to go against the tzidukim. So it's a bit complicated, but this is the Mishnah in Para that we're going to read. Remini, but we have a contradiction from the Mishnah in Para. Chatziros hayu benuyos b'Yerushalayim. There were courtyards built in Yerushalayim, al gabei ha'sela, that were on top of a bedrock, v'tachteihem chala, and there was a hallowed beneath them. There was a hallowed ground beneath them, so there was an ohel beneath them. And therefore, mipnei kever ha'tahom, out of concern for contamination of Kever HaTahom, literally means grave of the deep, but in this situation, what it's referring to is this hidden type of tumah that could be present. So what we're trying to show is that we have one place, there's a certain community, that we can be certain that there was no hidden type of tumah, that there was no possible chance of any human remains being there, because there was an ohel right there, and it was like some sort of cliff type thing, so they built a community on there, a courtyard on there, and what they would do is, when Mavi and Nashamu Barsfi Oldosham, so they would have women to go and give birth there, they would have some sort of pregnancy ward over there. And there were certain people that would raise their children there for the sake of the Parah Aduma, because in order to go and get the water, so these kids needed to be fully tahar, at least in terms of any sort of tmei mace. So we had them grow up there till they were about 8 or 9, because once they're 9, they can go and contract their other types of tumah like tumas keri. So they would go and stay there, and that way we know for sure that they'd be fully tahar. Umevin shvarim, and when the time came to draw the water for the sprinkling of the Efer Parah Aduma, they would bring oxen to go to these courtyards, and with doors on their backs, and the children would go on, sit on top of them, and they would have cups of stones in their hands, again, that the cups of stone are because they're not Mekabel Tuma, and they would ride to the Shiloach spring where the water was drawn. And once they got to the Shiloach spring, which is where they would go and draw the water for the dipping and the sprinkling of the Parah Aduma. This was a spring near Yerushalayim. Yardu usochamayim umilu'am. And so the children would go and go down into this well type thing, and they would go and fill up their cups. And then they would go back and sit again on these doors on top of these oxen to go and bring these cups of water to the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the child's not going to go down from the ox to go draw the water. Rather, he's just going to use some sort of contraption to go and bring the water up from his cup. He's going to use some sort of rope. Because we're concerned that even just stepping off of the animal to go get the water, he's going to go and contract some sort of tumah. So the machlokas here seems to be whether you actually have to fill up the kli by hand or if you're allowed to use some sort of rope. But whatever it is, Vitanian, it was taught in a brisa, Rabbi Huda says, Lo yomavin delasos elashvarim, that this whole thing was assuming that they had the oxen that the kids would go on, but they would go on top of doors to go ahead and save them from any sort of tumah. So that way, any sort of OL issue, there would be no issues whatsoever. But Rabbi Yehuda now, again, this is our same Rabbi Yehuda, he's of the shita that you don't need these doors to go and transport the child. Rather, Elashvarm, rather you just have these wide-bellied oxen, that's going to be enough. It was the backs of these oxen that shielded the children from any possible tumah that would be underneath it. Ask the Gemara now. Hashvarm de ohel sheino asoi bidei adam hu. But these oxen are a situation of a ohel that are not man-made. Vikatani, and we said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yemevin delasos elashvarm, that you're allowed to use these as an ohel to go and block any sort of tumah from coming on you. So what we see from here, again, all of this was just for a question. We said that Rabbi Yehuda holds that anything not man-made cannot be an ohel. But here we're saying that this ox is allowed to be an OL, even though it's not man-made. So answers the Gemara, Ki Asa, Rav Dimi, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Moder Rabbi Yehuda Kimlo Egro. Rabbi Yehuda agrees in the case of a naturally formed shelter that's as large as a fist. They say that this is a fist of the biggest person, which is as big a head, but basically when it gets to a certain size, then he says even if it's naturally formed, then it is going to be considered an OL in regard to Toma. Tanan Yach, we have a similar brisa which says, Moder Rabbi Yehuda Bishkifin Unikike Aslam. Rabbi Yehuda agrees in the cases of uprooted boulders and certain types of rocks, that they would be considered an OL with regard to Tumah, even though they are naturally formed. Good, so now comes the Gemara and says, Vare delos diyesh bakama egrofin v'katani Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yemevin delasos elashvarim. But if you're going to tell me that that's the whole thing, that he says it's once you get to a certain size, certainly these doors had this size, so why would the kids not have these doors? Why would they say that the oxen, it sounds like you can't have these doors, the doors are going to be a problem, but the doors certainly reach that sort of size, and therefore it should be an OL, and therefore it should go and be protecting from the tumah. So why can't you have these doors? So answer the Gemara, Amar Abaye, go hutchakul havid losses. No, what Rabbi Yehuda was saying is that the kids don't need to have the doors. You could, but he's saying that the ox is going to be enough. You don't need to have the doors. Rava, Amar Rava gives a different answer. He says, lo yomivian losses kolikar. No, really, you shouldn't be bringing these doors at all, but not because they don't serve as an OL, rather for a different reason. Shemnesha, daik to shaltino gasa love, because since the child's attitude is going to be, you know, overly confident, he's going to sit on top of the door, he's going to be less careful in terms of staying still. Shemiyotzi Rosho Echad Me'evarav, he's going to go and move his head and one of his limbs beyond the door v'yitma, and he's going to become tummy, and that's going to be a problem v'kever hatom by some of these hidden types of tummah. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda says it's just a better policy to just have him riding on an ox. Tani Kavasi Rava, and we have a brisa that goes like this with Rava. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says Lo Yemevin Glossos Kolikar, that they should not bring these doors at all to transport the children. And they should die to Shaltino Gasa Love, because children are overly confident. Shemiyotzi Rosho Echad Me'evarav, they're going to go and move and be a little too comfortable. They're going to go and stick their head out or one of their limbs out from beyond the door. V'yitma bekever hatahom, and they're going to go and get some of this hidden tumah. El mevin shvarim hamitzrim. Rather, they should just get these Egyptian types of oxen, shekreseim rochavos, who are very wide. V'atinokos yoshvan agabim. The children should just sit on the back of these oxen. V'choso shalevin bidem. They should have these cups of stone in their hand. Yigiu l'shiluach. When they reach the Shiloach spring, yardu milum. They should go down and fill it up. V'aluv yoshvu lehen agabim. Then they would go back and sit back on these oxen as they would go and bring these cups of water back to the Beis HaMikdash. So now we'll continue this discussion within Rabbi Yehuda tomorrow. So we just discussed that Rabbi Yehuda says that any non-man-made ohel is not considered an ohel. We prove that this is not true. Once it reaches a certain size, even if it's just natural, that's going to be totally fine. And all of this was proven from a Mishnah in Para, Mishnah in Ohelos. So big discussion over here as to what's considered an ohel. This is Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph 21a. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.